Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to our Christmas service. And would you just rise with me as we sing this song? And I want to remind you that a lot of these songs that we sing are not just songs that we sing because we like to hear the sound of our own voice, but they're actually prayers. And this song certainly is a prayer. And my hope is that you'll sing it prayerfully and to the one to whom this song and this prayer is written.
Jesus, hold on, I
As we come before you, we are here to celebrate Christmas. And Lord, forgive us if we haven't prepared in this right way. And it's not about buying the presents for everyone. It's about getting our hearts in the right place and the way we treat each other. And perhaps even the way that we treat ourselves. The way we see ourselves as being loved by you. So help us in this time and in this place as we think about it to forgive in this season and to be forgiven. That you who would not withhold any good thing from us would bless us with your own self, with Jesus. So Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to us. We're here to worship you as we do every Sunday. And although we make this a special time where we remember your birth, we always remember your presence. May your Spirit rest upon us. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to be reading for us from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, which is, I think, is very significant to what Christmas is all about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the past 4 weeks, we've been celebrating Advent, which means to come, and we're waiting for Jesus' arrival in two ways, or we celebrate his arrival. We know that he's already come, which is what we're going to be celebrating. The children are going to help us to illustrate that. But we're still waiting for him now, because after his death and resurrection, he ascended into heaven, and he promises to be with us again. It's been a long time. But we continue to wait with hope, because he has always been true to his promises. When he says that salvation comes, it came. And when he says he will return, he will return. And so as we celebrate his first coming, we're mindful of his second coming. Thankfully, the light is already amongst us. My hope is that each of us will come not only to recognize the light of Christ, the hope in the darkness, but that we will be able to spread this light around too in our world. And so it is with those words, I now light the Christ candle to remind us that Jesus is with us. This way, because we forgot the music. The children to come and present the Christmas play. Yeah.
the first Christmas. It was about 2,000 years ago that a Savior was born to the world. His coming was such an important event that the current world calendar marks its start the year of his birth. Christmas is a special time that celebrates the love of God the Father who sent God the Son to earth as an infant to live among us. The Christmas season brings a message of hope and good news for all through Jesus.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16.
God sent the angel Gabriel to the town of Nazareth in Galilee with a message for a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to marry a carpenter named Joseph from the family of King David. The angel greeted Mary and said,
"You are truly blessed.
You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you."
Mary had never heard such a greeting before and was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. The angel Gabriel spoke again.
"Do not be afraid, Mary. God is pleased with you. I have a message for you from the Lord. You will have a baby boy and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of God, and his kingdom will have no end."
"How can this be? I have no husband yet."
"Nothing will be impossible with God."
"I am the servant of the Lord. Let all you have said be done in my life."
In an instant, the angel was gone.
When Mary told Joseph all that had happened to her, he was very confused. But one night, as he slept, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Mary is a good woman. Do not put her away. Take her as your wife, for her baby is a miracle baby that God himself has given to her, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins."
When Joseph awoke from his dream, he did exactly what the angel asked him to do. He took Mary as his wife and never doubted again.
those days, the Roman king Caesar Augustus wanted to know how many people were living in his kingdom. So everyone, including Mary and Joseph, had to return to the birthplace to be counted. Mary was almost ready to have her baby, but still, they made the journey from Nazareth to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph belonged in the line of David. When they arrived in Bethlehem, it was very crowded with people. Mary was ready to give birth, so Joseph was anxious to find a place to stay for the night. Unfortunately, there is no more rooms left in the inn.
Finally, Mary and Joseph came to a stable where sheep and livestock were kept. There, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feeding box for animals. And so the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet has said. The virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Near Bethlehem, there was a group of shepherds who were guarding their sheep at night. Suddenly, an angel from God came to them. The dark night sky filled with light. The shepherds were terrified. The angel reassured them and said,
"Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people today. In Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Come and see the Lord. You will know who He is, because you will find Him dressed in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, many angels appeared before the shepherds, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased."
When the angels left, the shepherds hurried into the town of Bethlehem and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen all this, They told everyone about Jesus, and people were amazed at what they heard. The shepherds returned to the sheep, praising God all the way. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said.
We're going to move into our time of, what do we call this? I suppose we call this liturgy. You have just heard the story, and after the kids are all finished, it's almost like there's nothing more for us to say. But there is more to say. So I'd like to invite, is Mary here in the audience, in the congregation? Does she go? Mary stepped out. Mary's recovering from a difficult labor. I'd like to spend a few moments just reflecting on Mary. Now, Mary is one of the most respected mothers of all time. In fact, the Orthodox Church loves to call her a special name called Theotokos, which means God-bearer. Now, it's a title that we don't use very often because we usually say things like, God is the one who is carrying me. We like the idea of God's big, strong arms surrounding us and carrying us around like little lambs. But Mary's title reminds us that there was a time when she carried and protected God as a baby in her womb. Now, most pictures of Mary show her as a fully grown-up woman with a tender, knowing expression on her face. And here you can't really see some of her face. But she looks like she knows what she's doing, doesn't she? She's usually shown gazing adoringly at her bundle of swaddling clothes in her arms, and somewhere in which is the baby Jesus. And it's a picture most of us want to have of our mothers and of motherhood. But the truth is, Mary was probably anything but the mature and serene woman we see in stained glass windows. Like most ancient Near Eastern women, Mary was probably promised to be married to Joseph when she was a little girl, and then actually married when she was just a teenager. It may be true that without all of our modern distractions, Mary had been might have been a little bit more mature. But the truth is, she was little more than a child herself when God's messenger, the angel, first showed up and told her, "Good news, you're going to give birth to the long-awaited king." Now, you might imagine that pregnancy is always a happy event, right? Most people welcome children because we see them as a sign of wealth and blessing. But sometimes, when you're not ready to let go of your own childhood in order to bring a child into the world, you can be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the changes that are about to happen. It's not easy to be a mother on the best of days. I wouldn't know this from personal experience, but from what I observe, it's hard being a mom. It's hard being a dad. Not just now, in 2010, but back then, it was difficult to be a mom or a dad. Now, when you add to this that Mary was unmarried and pregnant, she would have been an object of shame for the entire close-knit villagers that whispered and gossiped about the immorality of Joseph's future wife. In spite of the fact that she was pregnant by miracle, you can imagine how lonely and afraid Mary must have been whenever she walked down the street and people would cross to the other side to keep from looking her in the eye. You can imagine how much more difficult a pregnancy is when your parents won't believe you, your friends desert you, and the man you are promised to marry is thinking about divorcing you. We are sometimes uncomfortable with the people God chooses to make himself manifest in. We might look at a homeless addict and say that God can't possibly be in him. Or we might look at a rich woman and say that God couldn't use her either. But God always uses the people who are open to him, who say, as the teenaged Mary said, "May it be unto me as you say it shall be." Rich or poor, crazy or sane, young or old, willingness to become a bearer of God is what is required above all else. The lesson of Mary teaches us that God can and will work through us despite our unsuitability in the eyes of the world. We may feel that we aren't smart enough, pretty enough, charismatic enough, or even pure enough. But God delights. God is happy to use the people that we least expect, including you and me. Let's stand together and sing Silent Night.
Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Please be seated.
I always wonder what went through Joseph's head. Why was Mary pregnant? Of course, he didn't believe her at first. He was embarrassed, confused, maybe a little bit angry. But he knew Mary. He knew her character. And he really did care about her. And so he chose not to shame her. He wanted to quietly call the wedding off without pointing fingers. But that was until he had a dream with an angel in it. He was told that the child in Mary was from God. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, was named after another dreamer, Joseph, son of Isaac, the one with the brothers and the multicolored coat that they killed him for. The thing about these two Josephs, and these Josephs that we need to notice, is that they recognize the hand of God and the voice of God in their dreams. Not all dreams come from God, of course. But these two, and this Joseph, could tell the difference. This is instructional for us in our day of rationalism and science and proofs. It's easy for us as modern thinkers to dismiss this silly, simple carpenter and his dream. But should we be so proud of our calculating logic? You see, if we cease to believe that God speaks to us, whether by His Spirit through Scripture or even through dreams, our spiritual lives are nothing more than a religious charade. We play at knowing God, at hearing God, at worshiping God, but we don't hear from Him. We are deaf. What Joseph invites us to in his experience is to believe that miracles happen, that God is real. And he speaks. Joseph believed. And so he loved the son that was not his own, the Son of God, who would bear his name nonetheless. So let me ask you this simple question. Have you ever let God speak to you? In your dreams, sometimes we just haven't learned to pay attention or to listen. What child is this to lay? Sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him loud, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians, fear for sin is here, the silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.